Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ja weeviva catbang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison killitary industrial corp nation. In the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA. Home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat, even masquerading as Mother's Day brunch and dinner. Well, this is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and happy Mother's Day from Go Vegan Radio.
Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time ago, your mother should know.
Your mother should know.
Sing it again. Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. She was born a long, long time ago. Your mother should know.
Your mother should know.
Yes, your mother should know. What's the first thing your mother should know? Well, it's that she is your mother, right? Not some cow. Right? Your mother should know. Your mother should know that when she was breastfeeding you, it was not cow's milk she was feeding you. Your mother should know. Your mother should know what the milk of a cow is doing to you. You know, the China study, T. Colin Campbell saying that the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. Your mother should know. Your mother should know about insulin growth factor. It grows baby cows really big, really fast, and it grows tumors in people really big, really fast. Your mother should know.
Sing it again. Da, 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 da,
yes, your mother should know. Your mother should know about, well, of course, the heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, all associated with having the wrong milk from the wrong species. Someone who isn't your mother. Your mother should know. Yes, your mother should know the sadness that she's causing another mother when she feeds you the milk stolen from that mother and her baby to give to you. Well, in fact, her baby is stolen from her right at birth. So he has no value because he won't be a milk production machine like mother. Well, he has no value except, to his mother, who would like him to be there. Well, and then I suppose he has some value when he becomes a veal parmesan sandwich or is fattened up to be beef, that little baby stolen from mother. Imagine how your mother would have felt if you were kidnapped from her right after birth. Yes, mom is crying for her baby. She is actually wailing for her baby. So whether you're having, you know, that glass of cow's milk or the smear of butter or the slice of cheese or that spoonful of yogurt or the ice cream. Yes, ice cream, you scream. We all scream for ice cream, especially the mother cow and her baby screaming for her. And yes, welcome to your world of dairy, okay? And in the case of the bovine world of mothers, well, all the babies are a result of rape. So It's a rape pregnancy to keep the babies coming. There's never really a good Mother's Day for Mother Cow when Mother can't produce milk anymore. Mother becomes a hamburger, huh? So I don't know. It's all of this dairy. It's all just drenched in tears of babies stolen from their mother and curdled by their screams. Well, my mother didn't know, you know, but your mother should know. We talk about your mother being born a long, long time ago. I think, the years all just blend together. I think my mother died in 1976, which was of lung cancer, 12 years after my father died of a sudden heart attack at age 47. And all of his brothers and sisters, the mothers of my cousins and uncles, all had heart disease. You know, your mother should know. It's not in the genes, it's on the plate, it's what we're eating. Shouldn't we question that? Your mother should know that today, now with all the studies that have come out. My mother didn't know way back then. And you know what's interesting is that you see all of the cancers associated with the consumption of animal products. And again, worth repeating, and your mother should know, that the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. So I would say, you know, a really good film, you should at some point get a hold of Eating, a documentary by Mike Anderson. Eating is just a wonderful documentary that covers it all, including, you see the scroll go by of all the cancers associated with the consumption of animal products. And look there, lung cancer also somehow associated with the consumption of animal products. So your mother should know. Your mother wants to, save the children. This is exactly what your mother should know. And what about, you know, your mother should know about Mother Earth, too? I mean, since animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, human-caused greenhouse gas emissions, what kind of world should our children have in the future? What world are we giving them? Well, your mother should know that if we want to stop climate change and have this be continue to be a hospitable little pebble running around in the universe here, we do all have to go vegan. Mom, you wanna save the planet for the kids? The top climate specialists in the world are telling us that we need a 50 to 85% shift of the population from consuming animal products to going vegan. That's what your mother should know, but it's true, it's well hidden, right? My mother didn't know. What did I know? Growing up every day in New York City at public school, PS 152 Manhattan. I guess my mother knew that the school was giving me a container of cow's milk every day with cookies in the afternoon. But, you know, how do we know? We're so indoctrinated and really brainwashed by the dairy industry, who tells us that milk does a body good. I don't really see the facts. I don't see the medical studies. Unless we find one, maybe funded by the dairy industry, I don't know. But it's not that milk does a body good. It's that milk does a body in. And shame on all the athletes who should be concerned with health and, you know, selling the public on milk with their milk mustache. I mean, their milk mustache. You know, you have to wonder. If it's sticking to your lip so long, like what's it doing there? Why, you know, why isn't it dissolving or something? You know, it's like, well, casein, you know, the milk protein is also used to glue the labels on beer bottles. So imagine how sticky and gunky that gets, right? So anyway, your mother should know, and your mother should know that, you know, if you want to keep your mother alive and you want to keep the family, you know, protected from premature death, well, your mother should know. We should be going vegan. I don't know. It's Mother's Day, and if you're in the Bay Area, I found a really great restaurant. You might want to take Mom to Sanctuary Bistro in Berkeley. Wow. French cuisine, 100% vegan restaurant. I stopped by there this week, and really delicious. I mean, for those of us who remember Madeline Bistro in Los Angeles, I would say get your bus ticket now. We found another truly spectacular restaurant, Sanctuary Bistro in Berkeley. So, put that on your to-do list. What did I have? Well, there was a cheese platter, which was totally delicious. And then beet tartare. See, I remember beet tartare from Madeline Bistro in L.A., so I had to get that since it was on the menu here. And then there was a Yuba wrap, and all delicious. So highly recommend that. If you're just thinking now, you've been listening, you're going, well, we were going to take Mom out for, you know, steak and lobster, you know, make a U-turn, you know, whatever. Just you want it to really be a classy joint. Go over to Sanctuary Bistro, or go over to Vegetarian House if you're in San Jose. There's a really special 100% vegan restaurant. Vegetarian House would be perfect for you to head over for Mother's Day, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Vegetarian House also caters, so you can make any event special. Check out vegetarianhouse.us. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Oh, coming up, we will have Professor Gary Francione, who is criticizing the Kardashian fur campaign, and then Robert Banks, who organized the Kardashian fur campaign, will respond later in the program. You'll be able to call in, too. I'll give you the number. Linden on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and you also find two Bob Linden Facebook pages hanging out there with about, well, maxed out usually, but sometimes you can get in and be one of my friends, one of my close 5,000 friends on each of those two Facebook pages. I mentioned, so next hour, in fact, we'll be doing it a little, we'll have Professor Gary Francione on a bit early this week. He'll be on at 6 p.m., just about 6 p.m. Pacific time with us today. Quite a controversy this week, I see, stirred on Facebook. Professor Francione, critical of the Kim Kardashian fur shame campaign. And we will have Robert Banks calling into the program. He was one of the organizers of the Kim Kardashian fur shame campaign in New York City. And so he wants to respond to Professor Francione's criticisms. And in fact, we'll open the phones at about 6:30 today. So if you want to get in on the conversation, just put it in your head that the phone number to call, the call-in line, is 855 855-660-4261. 855-660-4261. That will get you to the GCN studios. And Go Vegan with Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden is nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. And we are live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. You can click listen live at goveganradio.com, where we archive all the programs. And we hope you'll check out what's there. And you know, I keep thinking, you know, your mother should know. I keep thinking, shouldn't your mother know that you're an herbivore? You're not a carnivore. You're not an omnivore. You are an herbivore. If you call yourself a carnivore or an omnivore, you are merely an herbivore with a, you know, mistaken diet. You know, you're doing the wrong thing. So, and it shows. It shows in more ways than one. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, as we mentioned, world hunger, poverty, deforestation, climate change, resource depletion, all because we consume meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And so if you do want to make a transition and help mom in the kitchen and get things going, get things veganized, check out naturesflavors.com. Naturesflavors.com. There's so much to help you in a vegan kitchen. It's a company whose, you know, all products are vegan and kosher, and you have everything. You know, you have baking mixes. You can make muffins together with mom, or brownies, or just check out what's there. Make banana bread, and you'll see. Well, I mean, isn't it true that I mean, we wouldn't really like to eat meat, dairy, fish, and eggs if they weren't flavored with what comes from the vegan world, right? The herbs, the spices, the tomato sauce, the mushroom gravy. We wouldn't like any of that stuff. So anyway, your mother should know. Your mother should know that you all want to go vegan. The family wants to go vegan together. Let's do it. See that it just came out, you know, we... vegans don't eat honey either, right? You know, so not even honey. Well, you know, the native bees get displaced by more aggressive bees, and the whole shipping bees and smoking them out and destroying the queen. And, you know, can we leave the bees alone? I mean, Science News just came out with Science Daily saying that well, pesticides are altering bees' brains, making them unable to live and reproduce adequately. I think that I cover this years ago on this program. I don't think I was able to pronounce those pesticides at that time either. Neonicotinoids. Anyway, I thought I talked about Bayer Aspirin producing that, or the Bayer Company. Okay, it's Go Vegan Ready with Bob Linden. Oh, I am so upset that Farm has invited HSUS to speak at the Animal Rights Conference. I want to talk to you about that coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at GoVeganRadio. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and Bob Linden and Bob Linden on Facebook. And you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You can click donate at GoVeganRadio.com. Professor Gary Francione will be coming up. His segment will start earlier this week. To address the Kim Kardashian fur campaign. So he'll be on at around 6 o'clock Pacific time, along with Robert Banks, who organized the Kim Kardashian fur campaign in New York City. So that'll be at about 6 o'clock Pacific time, and then at around 6:30 Pacific time, you can call in too, and the phone number is 855-660-4261. The Funny Farm. The Funny Farm! That's the Farm Animal Rights Movement, farmusa.org. The Funny Farm. Farm treats the animal rights movement as a total joke. The Funny Farm, it's kind of funny that it appoints itself as the animal rights leader of leaders. That's Farm Animal Rights Movement. Leader of leaders. What's the acronym for that? LOL. And it organizes an annual gathering that it calls an animal rights conference. I should have a laugh track. I definitely need to have a laugh track here, because just imagine a constant laugh track in the background right now. So Farm organizes what it calls an animal rights conference, or ARCON for laughs. That's what I call it, ARCON. ARCON, the name fits it so well. What a con! What a conference, huh? It's a pack of comedians, a flock of con men, and some con women too. But the basically the con cabal of this conference, humanely manly, and the star speaker at ARCON 2015 will be, yes, the Humane Society of the United States. Can you believe that? HSUS speaking at an animal rights conference. It sounds like a Comedy Central stand-up special, right? HSUS speaks at animal rights conference. Yes, the Funny Farm. Very, very funny. Farm has zero credibility doing this. And are there negative numbers to measure credibility? Negative infinity, plus one, or minus one. Farm is such a lost cause. What a joke. I can't believe it. I mean, well, its actions have really been, showing us that it's, from the animal's perspective, it almost seems criminally insane, the actions have been pretty funny for a while, from when it changed its position on enriched cages to become, one of the big boys, Alex Hirschaft was, and that's past tense, Alex Hirschaft of Farm was, such an eloquent speaker when he spoke against enriched cages and told the truth on, from the heart on moral grounds. And then when Hirschaft, decided, I guess he wanted to be invited to all the big important HSUS parties with all the stars, everybody in their Wooltex tuxedos. Then Hirschaft decided to become a laughing stock. It's really pretty amazing what's happened. So then, in essence, Alex Hirschaft had to refute himself. So, you can't write material better than that, it was just, it was precious. There he was on stage, pretty much, just vomiting a mealy-mouthed stream of incomprehensible gibberish. Why, it was like an Andy Kaufman skit, so incomprehensible, you had to laugh, but I don't know. In a sense, you had to laugh to keep from crying that Farm had to sell out its animal rights conference. And so there you have it. And now the joke is on us all, and the tragic comedy continues with the anti-vegan Humane Society of the United States speaking in a starring role. Can you believe this? A starring role at the Animal Rights Conference. One could only imagine, you know, what a representative from the Humane Society of the United States could say at an event like this, right? I mean, it's almost like, can we imagine? What have we imagined so far? We've imagined the laugh track. Now, let us imagine the harp in the background as we imagine what the Vice President of Farm Animal Protection, Paul Shapiro, might say coming on stage at this Comedy of Errors, the Animal Rights Conference, or ARCon. What would he say? He would say, well, thank you. Thank you, Alex Hirschaft, and especially thank you for being open-minded enough to stop opposing modified battery cages. Oops, sorry, I was supposed to stop calling them battery cages. Thanks, Alex, for dropping your opposition to modified cages. Oh, darn, I was supposed to stop saying modified. What was it? Yeah. Oh, Alex, glad you now like the furnished battery cages. Oh, I didn't mean to say furnished again. Although, you know, well, a stick for a perch, it's kind of like a couch to the hens. And some wood shavings or sand, well, that's pretty much like a private bath, I think. So, anyway, not furnished battery, okay, enriched battery. I mean, enriched, I don't know. Enriched colony cages. Hey, yeah, there. Thanks, everyone. And you can thank that man right there, Alex Hirschaft, for the hot new trend in construction in humane concentration camp living. Yes, it is the enriched cages. Ironic, isn't it? It's nice to be here today at this ARCon. My name is Paul Shapiro, and are there any vegans here today? Really? Oh, okay. Well, I usually don't get to exactly talk to vegans. You know, we usually don't talk to vegans at HSUS. Because we don't like vegans. So we don't like vegans and we don't like to talk to them. Except to tell them that, hey, we're vegan too. And that's why vegans should continue to contribute, donate to HSUS. We need vegans' help. Please donate now to help us make up for the cash shortfall caused by our need to pay $25 million in donor money to Ringling Brothers for our role in racketeering. Another reason vegans should donate to us is because... I forgot to mention, I was supposed to make a special announcement. We do have the dollar off bacon coupons at the HSUS table in the Animal Rights Conference Expo, and I will personally sign them. When I do sign them, I'll sign them. Sorry, I meant to protect this pig. Sincerely, Paul Shapiro. Or you can choose a coupon pre-signed by pig farmer Joe Maxwell. I forgot there are vegans here. So okay, what would I talk about with a bunch of vegans here? So you people are upset about the dollar off coupon? Well, as Vice President of Farm Animal Protection, I just want you to know that that other department, you know, that, I mean, we're separated. It's the cubicles or like the other department that, you know, the animal killing department. Well, that department wanted to actually do a $2 off coupon on bacon, and I fought for the dollar, you know, to keep the package price unit up higher, resulting in 4% fewer sales, reducing demand for the pigs, and therefore saving, well, if you figure based on Nick Clooney's calculations, you saved 8/39 of a pig, or we saved 8/39 of a pig per American. Well, just see Nick Clooney's research. You'll see. And let's forget about how many pigs HSUS actually saves. You know, we're committed to, you know, saving all animals. And again, that $2 off coupon really was, we wouldn't stand for it. Now, I know many of my vegan friends, I mean vegetarian friends who don't eat dairy and eggs. Well, I know, right, because I'm not supposed to use the word vegan. So, okay, I know many of my vegetarian friends who don't eat dairy or eggs. I know many were surprised when my organization was reported in the Washington Post to state that God provided animals to humans to be eaten. God provided animals to humans to be eaten. You saw that in the Washington Post, that HSUS said that. Well, that's the Christian department of HSUS. You know, on our floor, we have a lot of cubicles. So we have, you know, the animal killing, humane meat department. And we also have the Christian department of HSUS, you know, and they also, they're in a cubicle way on the other side of the office. So I never really get to hear what they're planning. And what do you care about what a bunch of HSUS spokespeople say in churches anyway? Hey, we're vegans, aren't we? That means we're atheists, right? I mean, if vegans weren't atheists, hey, then they'd be eating meat too, because, well, God provided animals to humans to be eaten. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Maybe I'll continue this after the break, if we're still allowed on the air. Okay, we'll continue. Go Vegan Radio, GoVeganRadio.com. Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. Just a few minutes, we will have a commentary from Professor Gary Francione and a response, a rebuttal from an activist in New York to what Professor Francione is discussing. And also, you will be able to participate in the program. We have a call-in line, and we'll open the phone's at 6:30 Pacific time. The number is 855-660-4261. If you would like to call before the break, you noticed that I have been driven totally crazy. My head has exploded because the Farm Animal Rights Movement, FARM, which organizes a so-called animal rights conference, for years has not been able to differentiate animal advocates from animal killers, and 2015 is no difference when FARM has invited the Humane Society of the United States, a rancher advocacy meat front group, to speak at the conference. Before the break, we were imagining what a spokesperson from HSUS could actually say to a group of real animal rights people, imagining what Vice President of Farm Animal Protection Paul Shapiro might be saying at such an ARCon. So this is not an actual recording. It's a voice actor, just imagining. And we pick up. Here's Paul Shapiro again at the Animal Rights Conference. So vegans, please donate generously to HSUS, and please support our vegan campaigns, our new vegan campaign. God provided animals to humans to be eaten, so go vegetarian and don't eat dairy, but it's okay to have cage-free eggs on Monday. That's one of our most popular vegan campaigns. Please donate to HSUS for that. Now, we've heard from our vegan friends, I mean, our vegetarian friends who don't eat meat or dairy, or eggs. They seemed upset with Hoofin' It, the event that HSUS sponsored, my employer, Hoofin' It. Well, because the vegans didn't really understand. We were talking about the recipes of meals being served for four nights in a row in Denver. Again, that was organized by another department at HSUS. Again, that was the animal killing department. I'm the animal protection department. And as I said, they're in another cubicle far away. I don't always hear what they're planning. So originally that other department wanted to do hoofing it for seven nights. I talked them down to four nights, which is reduce, eat less meat. Four nights of hoofed animals rather than seven nights. That's eating less. That's eating fewer animals. Again, it was, hoofing it. Don't be upset by the name. It was just the description of the recipe. Every dish had to have hoof in it. Part of our vegan campaign is that we want to eat more of the animals, more of the body parts. Don't throw so much away. Then we reduce less. Reduce. So, eat less. Eat less meat. And HSUS, people will be interested, vegans will be interested in the transformation of Joe Maxwell, the HSUS vice president of humanely killing 50,000 pigs annually for profit. You know, he's my colleague in the office there, but he's in another cubicle. Joe Maxwell has a new book out now, and I strongly recommend you read it. You can see the kind of influence I have on him, aside from, when he goes out to lunch and I get to hide the knives that are in his desk drawer. I keep them from him, and then he has to go out and buy new sharp knives. Okay, after I hide the ones in his desk drawer, and sharp knives are really so much more humane than the dull ones that I find in his desk drawer. But you slash the throats of 50,000 pigs a year, and see how sharp your knife stays, and that a single line, that would be a single line of pigs over 25 miles long. So that's hard to keep your knife sharp. So anyway, that's my contribution. Anyway, my good friend and colleague Joe Maxwell, in addition to keeping his knife sharp, has a new autobiography that I can't talk about now. Maybe next week. Maybe we'll continue the discussion. Imaginary talks from the meat industry at the Animal Rights Conference. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com.
Hi.
Greetings once again. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, where you can hear the show live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Just click Listen Live on the website. We're also live at gcnlive.com. And you can hear us in many places on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can even listen on your phone at 605-562-7771, 605-562-7771. And we have a call-in line, which we will open at around 6:30, about a half hour from now, 855-660-4261, if you want to get in on the discussion. And there was a big reaction this week on the Facebook page, the Abolitionist Approach Facebook page, with Professor Gary Francione, to his criticism of the Kim Kardashian fur shame campaign. And so Professor Francione said he wanted to discuss that on this week's program. And then seeing that in Facebook, one of the organizers of the New York Kim Kardashian fur shame campaign, Robert Banks, said he would like to join the discussion. So he will do that after we hear initially from Professor Francione, who will summarize his opposition. Welcome, Professor Francione. How are you this week?
I'm very well, Bob. I never knew you had the capacity to do these call-in things. I would have asked you to do that before we could think of all the fun we could have with the call-in.
Well, there's no time like now to start.
No time like the present. I've had issues with single-issue campaigns for years. I wrote about them in my book, Rain Without Thunder, in 1996. They all have basically the same characteristics and the same problems, but let's talk about it in terms of the anti-fur campaign and this Kim Kardashian business. Look, to suggest that one thing, you know, this campaign suggests that fur is worse than other things. That is simply false. There is no morally coherent distinction between fur and wool and leather and silk. It's all the same. It's all wrong. The idea that we single one of these things out and say, this is worse, this is the thing we target, makes no sense at all. I mean, there's no difference between wearing animals and eating them. I mean, they're both activities that violate animal rights, and they're also both activities that are completely gratuitous. But in any event, so when we focus on one thing as worse, that's a problem. And it's a problem for at least two reasons. The first reason is by suggesting that something is worse, you are suggesting logically that other things are okay or at least better. In a context in which we have animal exploitation pervasive in the society, when, you know, so we're using animals for all sorts of purposes. We use them for all sorts of clothing. So we use them for fur and for leather and for wool and for silk. So to say that fur is worse is to say that those other things are better. And that encourages people to continue to consume those things, to stop consuming one thing which is identified as bad. But they're not going to stop buying fur and then buy all of their clothes cotton or polyester. They're going to buy wool or leather. But we see this again, you know. And the interesting thing is that we see this with animal people. A lot of animal people still wear leather and wool. Lots of them. Look at the single issue campaign exemplified by Meatless Monday, draws this distinction and says meat is worse than dairy and eggs. The result is that, you know, you've got a lot of people, a lot of animal people out there who aren't vegan. They're vegetarian, but they're not vegan. Okay? So by suggesting that one thing is worse in a context in which there are a lot of things used by, you know, in which animal use is pervasive, logically implies that the other things are morally better things. The other consequence this has that's problematic is that by falsely suggesting that certain things are worse than other things, what you end up doing is arbitrarily demonizing the people who are engaging in the worst thing. Now, I watched the video of the Kardashian event in New York, and, you know, I just wrote down some statements that were made by the folks who were protesting. They said, you're the most disgusting person on the planet. Now, what does that mean? She's no more disgusting than any other non-vegan. She is no different from any other non-vegan. So to say that she's the worst person on the planet is not only hyperbolic, but it's what you're doing is you're reinforcing the idea that non-vegans are fine. This person who wears fur, people who wear wool, people who wear leather, they're fine. Non-vegans are fine. This person is the most disgusting person on the planet. She's a, quote, terrible person. Again, I don't like the fact that she wears fur. I also don't like the fact that I don't believe she's a vegan. I don't like the fact that she's not a vegan. She's no more terrible than anyone else. She was called a murderer. Well, to the extent that she is, so is everybody who's not a vegan. And for those people who are vegans, you want to start calling Kim Kardashian a murderer? Well, how about your non-vegan friends, your non-vegan spouses, your non-vegan parents? Are they murderers too? Because if you don't think they are, you're not thinking clearly. And a big problem that occurs is with a lot of these single-issue campaigns, when we demonize people, that demonization slips into problems of discrimination. The anti-fur campaign is and historically has been relentlessly sexist. All of the imagery of the anti-fur campaign, I mean, the fact that we single out fur, which is something worn mostly by women and part of the entire sort of the patriarchal dictation of what fashion's supposed to be, you know, and we have, it's been a relentlessly sexist campaign, always has been. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was practicing law, I would go and I would represent people at fur demos. And if you ever wanted to hear really hideous things said to women walking by in fur, you went to a fur demo and you would hear these incredibly obscene invectives. It was just amazing to me. But, you know, look, there's a reason why we have a fur campaign and we don't have a leather campaign. You walk up to a guy wearing a leather jacket and say some of the things that people have no problem walking up to a woman with a fur coat and saying, and you'll end up getting your teeth removed. Interestingly, Bob, when I posted this on the Facebook site, I had people coming in and saying, well, you know, but this is how you get people to go vegan. You know, this sort of campaign gets them to go vegan. I'm sorry, I disagree. You think that saying to someone that you're the most disgusting person on the planet is going to either change that person's mind or make other people who observe this, members of the public who see this, they're going to say, oh, yeah, I should go vegan. I mean, that just makes absolutely no sense.
Okay, Professor Francione, that was a good opening statement. And then we have Robert Banks, who is joining us also, one of the organizers in New York City of the Kim Kardashian campaign. And he saw that you were going to speak and contacted us. And welcome, Robert. I know that you wanted to respond, so welcome to the program.
Thank you. So I'd first like to say that I think it's a little immature and ignorant to suggest that we wouldn't approach a man wearing fur. Now, I would invite Gary to come out with us, but considering he does absolutely no form of activism, I know that will never happen. But we do harass people on the street that wear fur if they are male. This is not a sexist campaign. This is a campaign that's directed towards anybody that wears fur. And I think that to assume that we should be shaming those that wear fur, leather, silk, the same way that we shame people that wear fur, I think that shows that he has absolutely no experience in the activism community. Sure, to a vegan, they're all equally as cruel, but to the general public, they're completely different. And I think that there is a strategy involved in protesting. And you cannot target the leather industry or the wool industry the same way you target the fur industry, just as you can't target the meat industry the same way you would target the circus industry. They're completely different issues. And it would take an activist to know that. So I think this technique works. It worked in the 80s and 90s, but then when people started to become passive and basically have the mentality that Gary does, where nobody can do anything effective unless you just sit behind a computer and quote yourself and post food pictures, then, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous for him to spew this type of ignorance when he has no experience whatsoever. He can't back it up except for his own personal views. And people that are on the streets that have been doing this for a long-ass time, we actually can back it up. You know, when people start becoming passive, that's when fur became back in the public. When people start having his mindset, when people start saying, oh, well, I can't do this, I'm just going to encourage complete veganism, which is the most ridiculous approach ever. We would all love for that to happen, but it's not realistic. There's way too many non-vegans on this planet to encourage just veganism. I'm sorry, but with his approach, the animals don't have a billion years. And I'll be damned if I sit here and allow these fur farmed animals, these animals that are being experimented on, or animals in entertainment, I won't sit here and allow them to suffer far longer than they need to. So we're going to continue to do what we do. And he can continue to bash every effective activist out there just to build his ego. And that's what he's going to continue to do. You know, he's basically like a Westboro Baptist Church member that takes popular events going on and he tries to twist it around and talk about how ineffective it is just to get attention. It's like, grow up. He's a washed up man that basically is irrelevant in this movement. and I'm very surprised that he even has any followers whatsoever. But that just shows what type of world we live in. The animal rights community isn't that far off from the general public if they're this ignorant to believe his lies. I'm disgusted by my own like community.
Okay, so
let me tell you, first of all, it's interesting, Mr. Banks, you said nothing substantive. All you've done is make ad hominem attacks. I have raised substantive issues about
Professor Francien, we have a break coming up, so we'll continue our discussion after the break, and listeners can join in. The call-in number is 855-660-4261. If you want to join the conversation, Professor Francione responds after the break at Go Vegan Radio, goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And before the break, well, we started our discussion with Professor Gary Francione and his criticism of the Kim Kardashian Fur Shame campaign, followed by Robert Banks, who was an organizer in New York City of that campaign. It sounded a bit more like a personal attack from Robert Banks on Professor Francione than on the... Well, I don't know. Professor Francione, you were going to respond.
I'm not going to respond to his ad hominem remark, but there's not a great deal that he said of substance, but I'll respond to it. First of all, in terms of the fur campaign, has been a spectacular failure. It's been going on for 40 years. I've been involved with this movement for 33 years now. It was very, very active when I first got involved. I was at a lot of demonstrations back then. The reality is the fur industry is stronger now than it's ever been. So, I mean, this is a big problem with single-issue campaigns. They simply don't work. They don't change anything. But the fur campaign has been a spectacular failure. Secondly, he made the statement, he said, well, we can't talk about leather and wool the same way we talk about fur, just as we can't talk about, I think the example he used was circuses, we can't talk about meat the same way we talk about circuses. Really? I disagree with
you. I said you can't approach them.
Why not? You can't. I apologize. I accept your rephrasing. We can't approach them. That's absolute nonsense. You are dealing with two sorts of people out there, people who care about animals and people who don't care about animals. People who care about animals need to be educated about why veganism is the only rational response to the recognition that animals matter morally. If people care about animals, they will understand that message. You know, I do a great deal of educating. I talk to lots of groups. In universities, outside of universities, community groups, I have no problem getting this across to people. The people who are most resistant to it are the, quote, activists, particularly the people who are involved with groups like HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing. Those people are absolutely resistant to this idea that we have to promote veganism as a moral baseline, and that's exactly what you reinforced tonight, we cannot be clear that veganism is the moral baseline. I disagree. With respect to the people who don't care, or people who care, those people need to be educated about veganism. If they want to do something less, if they care and they hear the message and they want to do something less or they don't want to go vegan right away, that's their decision. But an animal rights movement should never, ever, ever present anything except liberation, rights,
the fact that we cannot justify exploiting any animal. So I mean, this is absolutely clear. The people who don't care, you can talk to them all you want. And if they don't care, they don't care. You can't make somebody care. If somebody cares, you can use logic and rationality to get them to a position. If they don't care, you can't make them care. So I think that, you know, look, we've got to, in my judgment, we've got to be clear that veganism is the only rational response. To talk about fur, to talk about circuses, particularly when these things are divorced, these single-issue campaigns, never, ever, ever mention veganism as part of their formal structure. Why? Because they don't want to, they want...
Did you see my shirt? I was wearing a Go Vegan t-shirt, and I had earthlings.com on the bottom of the poster that we used, because we knew that we were going to reach well over a million viewers. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, look,
you
Mr.
really
Banks,
don't.
Mr. Banks, I respectfully, I really don't want to engage in that level of discussion with you. The shame Kim
well,
Kardashian
you can't block
campaign,
me.
If
you,
you
can't
are going
block
to tell
me and
sir,
delete my
that,
comment.
That, sir, if you are going to tell me that that is a vegan campaign, I'm sorry. That's simply not a credible assertion. So, you know, look.
I didn't say it was a vegan
end,
campaign.
We've got, in the end, we've got a choice to make. If tomorrow is your last day on Earth and you're going to go educate people, are you going to go out there and say veganism is the only rational response to the recognition that animals matter morally? Or are you going to go scream and yell at some woman at a book signing, demonize her,
utterly
demonize her? Where do you think that's going to get, Robert? You know, the
I'm
reality is
I'm not
even animal welfare for 200 years now, and we're exploiting more animals now than at any point in human history. So this nonsense that you say that people became complacent, and that's what happened. People became complacent, and they bought into my views? Really? That's news to me, my friend. Because
okay, we have to take a break, and listeners can join the conversation. The phone number is 855-660-4261. Give us a call. Join the conversation on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. On Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Daisy is saying hello. And on Twitter, it's at Go Vegan Radio. Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And thanks for support from Selectee. You can go to the website, Selectee, SELECTTEA.com. And after water, tea is the second most popular beverage on the planet. So go to Select Tea. You can order online. There are 44 varieties of organic tea, 77 medicinal teas there, 14 flavored teas, instant teas, 13 tea blends and formulas, and just check it out, hibiscus teas, 61 medicinal herb tea loose formulas. So check it out. Get lost in the website there. Order online. Select Tea. Thanks for support for the radio program and the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Now that we see HSUS speaking at the next Animal Rights Conference, of course there's a need for another movement and other summits and conferences to let people know that they are not we. So we've opened the phone line.
We
actually,
have another vegan summit, don't you agree?
We need it. The phone lines are full, so I think that we need to start talking to some of the listeners who are calling in. So let's go to Angela in Boston first. Angela, welcome to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great, thank you. So,
Angela?
Yes, hello?
And that one.
Hi. There's a lot of background noise. I don't know if that's from, is that from Robert's?
Sorry.
No, it might not be, it might not be you. It might be, is it Robert's line, John, I'm wondering?
Possibly.
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise. If maybe we could just turn the volume down a second so we can hear Angela in Boston, please?
Hi. So I've been listening to this, and I think that it's a lot to ask for to try to get people to do the right thing and be educated and be moral and as far as what Gary's talking about and use the word veganism constantly. I think we should do whatever we can when we can and focus on individual issues and also ultimately veganism. But I think that we can change this with consumerism and getting, if it saves animals, to get fur to go out of style and raise anti-sentiment about it, then we can do it like that. But
why aren't we, you know, with the same energy? Why isn't it not wear animals at all? Why aren't we vocal against leather and wool and silk?
We've been fighting about fur for 40 years. The fur industry is stronger than it's ever been. Number one.
When you take that approach, Angela.
People simply switch to wool or leather. They don't become vegan. They don't go vegan. The anti-fur campaign has failed miserably. It's like these campaigns to stop people from eating foie gras. When they stop eating foie gras, they don't go eat tofu. They simply eat another animal. So what you're
doing is encouraging people to continue
animal exploitation. I would like to also say, Angela, that I really reject this idea that people are stupid or people can't digest the vegan message. I do this every day of my life. I do it all over the world. And you know what? People understand it just fine. I think that we've got to get away from this idea that if we want people to go vegan, we have to talk to them about everything other than going vegan.
Yeah, it's almost arrogant. You know, who are we to deprive people of the information to help us go vegan? And why are we so arrogant to think that other people can't get it if we have? Robert?
Maybe they don't care. I mean,
we focus on every issue. We focus on every single issue that involves animal cruelty. When fur season is around, we focus on fur. And let me put things into perspective for you. If you feel that education only is going to make the slightest bit of difference, you're crazy. You could turn a person vegan every single second for 32 years and you only reach 1 billion. We have a 7-plus billion non-vegans. I'm sorry, but you're little...
And you're going to do it with a fur campaign, Robert? You're going to do it with a...
No,
fur?
I'm not, but I'm going to... We target every single issue. We try to weaken the machine as best as we can so we can achieve complete animal liberation.
Robert, that is, if you're sending out those sorts of crazy, mixed, incoherent messages, if you're telling people that fur is worse than leather and wool, and you also think that that's consistent with educating...
I don't think it's worse, nor did I ever say that. I think that each issue should be approached accordingly. You can't come to someone that wears fur and educate them. You know, because they know that they're wearing a dead animal. When people buy leather shoes, they don't look at it as an animal. So the mentality is completely different, whether you can accept it or not. It's completely different.
It's called a discussion, Robert.
Nobody's
really hearing anything at the moment, so let me just thank Angela in Boston for calling, and let's go to Robert in Florida. You're on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
Hi, this is Robert. How are you?
Thanks. Good. How are you today,
Bob?
Robert?
Great.
I
want to say that I think that Professor Francione's Go Vegan philosophy is a good one. not at all in agreement with his opposition to the SIC's single-issue campaigns. And I do want to thank Robert Banks for his efforts in the anti-fur community, because I think that's been very helpful. One of the things that I want to address is this issue about demonization. I think that Professor Francione is demonizing Robert Banks just as much as claiming he's been demonized by assuming that this is just an attack campaign against Ms. Kardashian. It's actually an attempt to raise awareness.
Are you Robert or Bob? I'm sorry.
He's Robert in Florida.
Bob, I'm sorry. I guess I got confused when you say to somebody, you're the most disgusting person on the planet, you're a terrible person, and you're a murderer. I guess that just led me to believe that they were singling out the wearing of fur and arbitrarily demonizing Ms. Kardashian. As far as my demonizing Mr. Banks, there's a big difference between demonizing and discussing and disagreeing, okay? I realize they all begin with a D, but they're different words. I am discussing
Thank
this,
you.
And I am disagreeing.
Thank you,
I am
Mr.
offering
Professor.
Substantive comments, and all I'm hearing
yourself,
from you people
man.
Is ad hominem remarks.
If I might continue, because you're now attacking me with comments like it starts with a D, which is just ridiculous. I'll finish my comment, and then you can respond to it. I really appreciate the respect of allowing me to express my opinion. So you may not like the way Mr. Banks approached this particular topic, but the issue is making people aware that fur kills animals. That's what the issue is. The public needs to be made aware that this is a topic that they need to be aware of and that they should stop doing. It's not a question of singling out fur over leather or other things. The only way in the history of social change that that's occurred is by doing one single issue at a time. It's never in the history of social change happened where you attack one thing and won the war by making every issue on its own in a single issue. You've got to attack.
You obviously need, Robert, you obviously need to read about slavery and the abolition of slavery. You should do that.
Number one.
Number two, we've been educating the public about fur for 40 years, Robert.
And you've been doing the same thing about veganism, and you've accomplished nothing.
Oh, Robert.
What have you accomplished?
I am a single person. I work with volunteers. I have no organization. And in the 5, 6, 7 years that we've been doing the campaign that we're doing of getting people out there to educate the public about veganism, we have had remarkable...
Computer, you guys don't leave your computer. You don't leave the computer.
Oh, Robert, please, look, I'm not
no,
going to listen.
No, you don't.
If you want to engage...
You don't.
And
you never leave the
attack,
computer.
If you want to tell me what
do
I
shit.
Do and what I don't do, Robert, I don't
okay.
really care to...
All right, so again, here we go. Thank you, Robert, in Florida. And now let's hear from Will in New York.
So I was part of actually the demonstration as well, the disruption. Oh, hello? My
Hi, Will. Yes.
Hi, how are you doing? First off, thank you for having me on tonight. But anyways, so I was part of the disruption as well. And I don't like Mr. Fission to use semantics to try to play and belittle people's intelligence as he's doing with the whole thing. Using semantics he's the most disgusting human. Yes, don't use semantics, Sarah. We both know what he was getting at. That semantics that you're using, you're using that.
What are you talking about?
I don't understand. We don't. What does that mean? Using semantics when he's quoting
like,
what was being
the language,
said.
How he's saying, oh, like that was singling out one issue because clearly, me and him have been involved in other forms of activism. We do vegan outreach. We've done the circus. We've done anything that happened in New York City. We're there, number one. And we work. And it's the same that we are specious. Also, stuff like that, like BS like that, which he didn't say, but he deleted my comment, which is funny because he's a lawyer. Why would you delete my comment and block me on Facebook when you attacked us and I rebuttal back to you and you delete and block me?
We have terms of use, and we don't allow ad hominem comments, and a lot of you folks were engaging in just that.
Oh, no, I'm sure we
ad
were.
Ad hominem, oh, really?
Anybody that, okay. Anybody
well, it's time for a break. I don't know if any phone lines are open. We still have a few more callers. The call-in number, 855-660-4261. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, the radio program that asks you, please don't eat meat, dairy, fish, or eggs, and don't wear fur, wool, silk, leather, or feathers. The phone lines are jammed. We're talking to Professor Gary Francione, and we'll have to keep it short on the phone, see if we can get through as many calls as possible. Rafaela in New York, welcome to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Bob?
Good, thanks.
I would just like to hear from both of them how the action could have been successful, because I don't think the action was successful. I think the actual action failed to address speciesism and focused on the idol versus the animals. So instead of focusing on calling out speciesism and oppression towards all animals, right, the campaign was specifically targeted to Kim and promoted the idea that, as you said, wearing fur is a horrible thing, but not that all forms of oppression towards animals is wrong. Not to mention that it was kind of misogynist. But I do also think, on the other hand, Professor Gary Francione, that this could have been a great opportunity in form of direct action to have talked about speciesism, because let's be honest, we're not going to liberate animals by eating kale alone. So, yes, we need more vegans, but we need more vegans activists. So can you comment on that, please?
Sure. Rafael, do you think that I'm advocating that we ought to eat kale? Is that what you think I'm advocating? Because I'm not.
I think you're advocating for veganism.
No, I'm not, well,
veganism
is
consumerism.
You're not going to get a world by eating kale. We're going to get a vegan world by discussing with people and using creative, nonviolent education, which can take a number of different forms. But we need to use creative, nonviolent, vegan education to convince people and explain to people that it's absolutely essential, if they regard animals as members of the moral community, then there is only one rational response. They need to stop eating them, wearing them, using them. So that's what I think we ought to be doing. Now, I don't understand why you think that what went on at that event was any more activism than having a table where you are passing out literature, where you are discussing things with people, answering their questions, dealing with their objections. Is that not activism? Because I think that's very much activism.
Sure. I do think it is also a form of activism. I think we need both forms of activism in the movement, but I do think that action could have been successful. You know, they could have come to the event and said, excuse me, everyone, we're here today to take the opportunity to speak on behalf of all animals, and Kim thinks it's acceptable to wear the skin of animals, but it's not, and Kim is only a mere representation of a speciesist culture that promotes violence. So wearing, eating, or having animals for entertainment or science is not okay. Boom, leave and go. Wouldn't that have been so much more effective?
Well, it would certainly have been more coherent than what went on at that event. And I think I agree with you completely that event, I watched it. I watched it several times. To say that it was not, to deny that it was not, that it was misogynistic was silly. It was clearly misogynistic. And the question, yeah, I think you have to ask yourself in any situation like that is this the most effective way to advocate? Is this the most effective way to educate? And, that's a question you have to ask yourself.
Okay, thank you, Rafaela, in New York City. And quickly we go to Mariana in Mexico, calling from Mexico. Mariana.
Hi, Bob. Well, first of all, I find very interesting that Mr. Banks, right from the outset, he said, oh, we don't harass just women, we also harass men. It's not just about women, it's also about men. I thought that was astounding, Bob. I mean, his idea of advocacy is to harass people. And what I find also interesting is that the moment he gets on the air, he starts attacking and verbally. I mean, it's like that's the only way he knows how to communicate. I don't see, like, a real substantive response here. And I think that we should rethink this idea that advocacy is about harassing and verbally abusing people. And I think that also we really need to keep in mind that this movement is about bringing justice to animals, and it's a movement of nonviolence. You don't bring justice and nonviolence by doing this. I mean, it's just astounding. And we also really need to keep in mind, I mean, the hypocrisy behind these campaigns. I mean, how many people in there were actually vegan? Robert, do you also yell and call names to your non-vegan grandmother? What's the difference? I mean...
Okay, well, we have to leave it at that. Thank you for calling, Mariana, and to all our other callers, and to you, Professor Gary Francione.
My pleasure.
Thank you. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening. Please go vegan.